Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. We're in the year 1743 now. It's part four of the book. We'll try to finish part four this time. And it's Thursday, January 20, 1743. I rode to my brother's house between Norwich and Lebanon. I preached in the evening to a number of people, enjoyed neither freedom nor spirituality, but saw myself exceeding unworthy. Friday, January 21, I had great inward conflicts, enjoyed but little comfort. Went to see Mr. Williams of Lebanon and spent several hours with him, and was greatly delighted with his serious, deliberate, and impartial way of discourse about religion. But the next day he was much dejected. Lord's Day, January 23rd, I scarce ever felt myself so unfit to exist as now. I saw I was not worthy of a place among the Indians where I am going, if God permit, though I should be ashamed to look them in the face, and much more to have any respect shown me there. Indeed, I felt myself banished from the earth, as if all places were too good for such a wretch. I thought I should be ashamed to go among the very savages of Africa. I appeared to myself a creature fit for nothing, neither heaven nor earth. None know but those who feel it, what the soul endures that is sensibly shut out from the presence of God. Alas, it is more bitter than death. On Monday, he rode to Stoningtown in Mr. Fish's parish. On Tuesday, he expresses considerable degrees of spiritual comfort and refreshment. And then Wednesday, January 26, preached to a pretty large assembly at Mr. Fish's meeting house, insisted on humility and steadfastness in keeping God's commands, and that through humility we should prefer one another in love, and not make our own frames the rule by which we judge others. I felt sweetly calm and full of brotherly love, and never more free from party spirit. I hope some good will follow, that Christians will be freed from false joy and party zeal and censuring one another. On Thursday, after considerable time spent in prayer and Christian conversation, he rode to New London. Friday, January 28, here I found some people fallen into extravagances, too much carried away with a false zeal and bitterness. All the want of a gospel temper is greatly to be lamented. Spent the evening in conversing about some points of conduct in both ministers and private Christians, but did not agree with them. God had not taught them with briars and thorns to be of a kind disposition toward mankind. Saturday he rode to East Haddam and spent the three following days there. In that space of time he speaks of his feeling weanedness from the world, a sense of the nearness of eternity, special assistance in praying for the enlargement of Christ's kingdom, times of spiritual comfort, and so forth. Wednesday, February 2, I preached my farewell sermon last night at the house of an aged man who had been unable to attend on the public worship for some time. This morning I spent the time in prayer almost wherever I went, and having taken leave of friends, I set out on my journey toward the Indians. Though I was to spend some time at East Hampton on Long Island, by leave of the commissioners who employed me in the Indian affair, and being accompanied by a messenger from East Hampton, we traveled to Lyme. On the road I felt an uncommon pressure of mind. I seemed to struggle hard for some pleasure and some here below, and seemed loath to give up all for gone. Saw I was evidently throwing myself into all hardships and distresses in my present undertaking. I thought it would be less difficult to lie down in the grave, but yet I chose to go rather than stay, and I came to Lyme that night. And every time I stop and read without his quotations, what we're talking about, Jonathan Edwards and his comments regarding what the man's life. He has the whole story, so he's giving us little bits and pieces in between. And here he says he waited the next 2 days for a passage over the Sound and spent much of the time in inward conflicts and dejection. But he had some comfort. On Saturday, he crossed the Sound and landed at Oyster Ponds on Long Island, traveled from thence to East Hampton, and the 7 following days he spent there, for the most part, under extreme dejection and gloominess of mind, with great complaints of darkness, ignorance, and so forth. Yet his heart appears to have been constantly engaged in the great business of religion, much concerned for the interest of religion in East Hampton, and praying and laboring much for it. Saturday, February 12, enjoyed a little more comfort, was enabled to meditate with some composure of mind, especially in the evening, found my soul more refreshed in prayer than at any time of late. My soul seemed to take hold of God's strength and was comforted with his consolations. Oh, how sweet are some glimpses of divine glory, how strengthening, how quickening. Lord's Day, February 13. At noon, under a great degree of discouragement, knew not how it was possible for me to preach in the afternoon. I was ready to give up all for gone, but God was pleased to assist me in some measure. In the evening, my heart was sweetly drawn out after God and devoted to him. The next day, he had comfort and dejection intermingled. And then on Tuesday, February 15, early in the day, I felt some comfort. Afterwards, I walked into a neighboring grove and felt more as a stranger on earth, I think, than ever before, dead to any of the enjoyments of the world, as if I had been dead in a natural sense. In the evening, I had divine sweetness in secret duty. God was then my portion, and my soul rose above those deep waters into which I have sunk so low of late. My soul then cried for Zion, and had sweetness in so doing. This sweet frame continued the next morning, but afterwards his inward distress returned. Thursday, February 17. In the morning I found myself comfortable and rested on God in some measure. Preached this day at a little village belonging to East Hampton, and God was pleased to give me his gracious presence and assistance, so that I spake with freedom, boldness, and some power. In the evening I spent some time with a dear Christian friend, and felt serious as on the brink of eternity. My soul enjoyed sweetness in lively apprehensions of standing before the glorious God. Prayed with my dear friend with sweetness, and discoursed with the utmost solemnity. And truly it was a little emblem of heaven itself. I find my soul is more refined and weaned from a dependence on my frames and spiritual feelings. Friday, February 18. I felt something sweetly most of the day, and found access to the throne of grace. Blessed be the Lord for any intervals of heavenly delight and composure while I am engaged in the field of battle. Oh, that I might be serious, solemn, always vigilant, while in an evil world. Had some opportunity alone today, and found some freedom in study. Oh, I long to live for God. Saturday, February 19, was exceedingly infirm today, greatly troubled with pain in my head and dizziness, scarce able to sit up. However, enjoyed something of God in prayer, and performed some necessary studies. I exceedingly long to die, and yet through divine goodness I have felt very willing to live for 2 or 3 days past. Lord's Day, February 20. I was perplexed on account of my carelessness. I thought I could not be suitably concerned about the important work of the day, and so I was restless with my easiness. Was exceeding infirm again today, but the Lord strengthened me, both in the outward and inward man, so that I preached with some life and spirituality, especially in the afternoon, wherein I was enabled to speak closely against selfish religion that loves Christ for his benefits, but not for himself. Well, during the next 2 weeks, it appeared that, for the most part, he enjoyed much spiritual peace and comfort. In his diary, for this space of time are expressed such things as mourning over indwelling sin and unprofitableness, deadness to the world, longing after God and to live to His glory, heart-melting desires after His eternal home, fixed reliance on God for His help, experience of much divine assistance, both in the private and public exercises of religion, inward strength and courage in the service of God, very frequent refreshment, consolation, and divine sweetness in meditation, prayer, preaching, and Christian conversation. And it appears by his account that this space of time was filled up with great diligence and earnestness in serving God, in study, prayer, meditation, preaching, and privately instructing and counseling. Monday, March 7, this morning when I arose, I found my heart go forth after God in longing desires of conformity to Him. And in secret prayer, I found myself sweetly quickened and drawn out in praises to God for all He had done to and for me, and for all my inward trials and distresses of late. My heart ascribed glory, glory, glory to the blessed God, and bid welcome to all inward distress again, if God saw meet to exercise me with it. Time appeared but an inch long, and eternity at hand, and I thought I could with patience and cheerfulness bear anything for the cause of God, for I saw that a moment would bring me to a world of peace and blessedness. My soul, by the strength of the Lord, rose far above this lower world and all the vain amusements and frightful disappointments of it. Afterwards, I had some sweet meditation on Genesis 5:24, where it says, Enoch walked with God, and so on. This was a comfortable day to my soul. Well, the next day he seems to have continued in a considerable degree of sweetness and fervency in religion. Wednesday, March 9. Endeavor to commit myself and all my concerns to God. Rode 16 miles to Montauk. Had some inward sweetness on the road, but something of flatness and deadness after I came there and had seen the Indians. I withdrew and endeavored to pray, but found myself awfully deserted and left, and had an afflicting sense of my vileness and meanness. However, I went and preached from Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and so on. I had some assistance, and I trust something of the divine presence was among us. In the evening I again prayed and exhorted among them, after having had a season alone, wherein I was so pressed with the blackness of my nature that I thought it was not fit for me to speak so much as to Indians. The next day he returned to East Hampton, was exceeding infirm in his body through the remaining part of this week, but speaks of assistance and enlargement in study and religious exercises and of inward sweetness and breathing after God. Lord's Day, March 13. At noon I thought it impossible for me to preach, by reason of bodily weakness and inward deadness. In the first prayer I was so weak that I could hardly stand. But in the sermon God strengthened me so that I spake nearly an hour and a half with sweet freedom, clearness, and some tender power from Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God. I was sweetly assisted to insist on a close walk with God, and to leave this as my parting advice to God's people here, that they should walk with God. Oh, may the God of all grace succeed my poor labors in this place. Monday, March 14. In the morning was very busy in preparation for my journey. I was almost continually engaged in prayer. About 10 took leave of the dear people of East Hampton. My heart grieved and mourned, and rejoiced at the same time. Rode near 50 miles to a part of Brookhaven, and lodged there, and had refreshing conversation with a Christian friend. In 2 days more, he reached New York, but he complains of much desertion, deadness on the road. He stayed 1 day in New York, and on Friday went to Mr. Dickinson's at Elizabethtown. His complaints are the same as on the two preceding days. Saturday, March 19, was bitterly distressed under a sense of my ignorance, darkness, and unworthiness. I got alone and poured out my complaint to God in the bitterness of my soul. In the afternoon, I rode to Newark, had some sweetness in conversation with Mr. Burr, and in praying together. Oh, blessed be God forever and ever for any enlivening and quickening seasons. Lord's Day, March 20, preached in the forenoon. God gave me some assistance and sweetness and enabled me to speak with real tenderness, love, and impartiality. In the evening, preached again, and of a truth, God was pleased to assist a poor worm. Blessed be God, I was enabled to speak with life, power, and desire of the edification of God's people, and with some power to sinners. In the evening, I felt spiritual and watchful, lest my heart should by any means be drawn away from God. Oh, when I shall come to that blessed world, where every power of my soul will be incessantly and eternally wound up in heavenly employments and enjoyments to the highest degree. On Monday he went to Woodbridge, where he speaks of his being with a number of ministers, and the day following of his traveling part of the way toward New York. On Wednesday he came to New York. On Thursday he rode near 50 miles from New York to North Castle. That's horseback, by the way, not, you understand, 50 miles is a lot. On Friday he went to Danbury, Saturday to New Milford. On the Sabbath he rode 5 or 6 miles to the place near Kent in Connecticut called Scaticoke, where dwell a number of Indians, and he preached to them. On Monday, being detained by the rain, he tarried at Kent. On Tuesday he rode from Kent to Salisbury. Wednesday he went to Sheffield. Thursday, March 31, he went to Mr. Sargent's at Stockbridge. He was dejected, very disconsolate, through the main of this journey from New Jersey to Stockbridge. And especially on the last day, his mind was overwhelmed with exceeding gloominess and melancholy. And I hate to leave you at that point, but that's the end of part 4. And part 5 will be about from his beginning to instruct the Indians at Kaunamiq all the way up to his ordination. Now, he has been certified and licensed and approved a whole bunch of stuff, but there's evidently a long process here, and he hasn't been officially ordained yet. But he has begun ministering to the Indians, as you see. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Listen, I've received a message from someone about maybe spending a little more time with Brainerd and with the others that I began. But I've begun 2 stories now, so it's going to be hard to keep both of them going at the same time. What I will do is, in response to this request, I will read David Brainerd today, as I just did, and Thursday, Monday and Thursday of this week. Tomorrow, we'll go to David Livingstone, and also on Friday, Tuesday and Friday. Wednesday will be Romans. I know, I've changed it again. You people who are not in real time, you have no idea what's going on here. You're seeing a whole bunch of stuff already out there, but these people with me are struggling a day at a time. Thank you so much for staying with me. Hey, I have a lot of other stuff, if you don't know already, throughout this website. I'm telling you, you need to go looking through it. There's especially the 400-plus North Korea audios, 800 really. Half of those are in Korean. And if you have a Korean friend, I know they'll be blessed by those. I make a teaching on the Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible and commentaries and so much more. Check out the books, and you can also go to Amazon.com and just put in Bob Faulkner, or you can use the store right there to see the different things that I've written, and I hope you'll do that. This is the Hackberry House of Cho Sun, Lord willing. We will talk soon. Bye-bye.